You're with Virginia on ABC Radio Melbourne.
It's not over. And of course, last week, Australia recorded the highest number of COVID infections anywhere in the world, apart from a couple of tiny little places. Is that in itself a concern? Does it go to that we are actually recording COVID cases more than other countries are actually doing in terms of testing and actually marking down those numbers? Let's hear from Professor Peter Doherty, Laureate Professor, of course, patron and namesake of the Peter Doherty Institute for Infection and Immunity. Professor, do you think it matters that we are recording this high number of infections daily here in Australia?
Well, yeah, of course, Virginia, it matters, but that's the way it is. And, you know, people got very over all those restrictions and so forth. Government opened up. They did so, I think, when Delta, we thought that was on the way down. It was a really nasty virus. And then, of course, we got hit with Omicron. So, you know, putting that the cat back in the bag is pretty impossible at this stage. But I'm really concerned about it.
Some are suggesting that we're one of the few countries that are even counting. Other countries are not counting their infections. Is that part of the explanation?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, we are asking people to register online when they have a positive RAT. And there are some advantages in doing that. I mean, you get into a system and so forth, though a lot of that is actually being a bit overwhelmed at the moment, as I understand it, from my clinical colleagues. So, it is good to register, but we're not. I think people think we're a third of the people, at least, who are getting infected are probably not signing on. Especially if you're older, though, you should, and really, or vulnerable in any way, and make the authorities aware so they can help you.
But 40 deaths a day on average across Australia, Peter Doherty, that's not where we were supposed to be after doing all those shutdowns and all that isolating and doing all that vaccinating?
No, Virginia, but I sort of calculated if you just convert our population size into the American or UK experience, we would have had about 70,000 deaths. And, you know, really, if it had got into some of the remote communities and all that, the Indigenous people did a great job of keeping it out in the main. They did a fantastic job. Then you know, that we have problems in Australia that are unique to us because of our enormous landmass and our distribution of population.
Mm. Are the vaccinations working out as we hoped, Professor?
Look, the virus has changed a lot, and Omicron is going through successive change. We've had BA1 and then BA.2, and now the Europeans are getting 4 and 5, and each one is more changed away from the vaccines. So the vaccines are not doing a great job of stopping us getting infected. In fact, it's not clear they're doing that much, but vaccination, you need to get that third or fourth shot when you're eligible, because vaccination is, much to my surprise, actually bringing up antibodies against these Omicron variants. And that seems to be stopping a lot of us from getting really sick and having to go to hospital.
Do you want or wish that the fourth shot be expanded to the general population soon?
That would be under consideration by the committee that looks at this, ATAGI, which is a very competent and professional committee, and they'll have that discussion going on. So they're really right across all the data. They get a lot more data and stuff than any of us out in the community do as independent individuals. You know, I'm accessing information via Google a lot of the time, also by talking with colleagues, but they've got so much more direct sources, so I wouldn't be surprised. And also, I'm told that Moderna and Pfizer have vaccines in trial currently that could come out in say mid-year in the US. That's my understanding, which would both have the original strain and one of the Omicron ones, I think.
With that, of course, comes in the high number of infections that we have, Professor, is the reality of long COVID. And this wretched virus is turning out to be so awful to many people's long-term health. What's it doing to us?
Well, long COVID is a complex of sort of symptoms, and it's very poorly defined, in fact. But what it is that I've just been looking at the UK health data. Actually, I've written a piece for it that will come out on our website this morning under the Setting It Straight series on long COVID in Britain. Basically, what they're seeing is 4 to 8 weeks. They're going for 4 to 8 weeks after infection. I think 18 to 16-year-olds in private households. They're seeing about 8% of long COVID in triple vaccinated individuals, right? Wow. So basically, long COVID can be all sorts of things. It can be odd sort of autoimmune things. It can be joint pains. It can be just general lethargy, brain fogs, muscle pain, weakness. It's a very, very complex thing. And I'm just now reading into it in as much depth as I can to try and write about it in lay terms so that, that people can read about it and sort of catch on to what's going on as best we understand
yeah.
it. Look, I really wonder whether we couldn't stop it all if we had enough antiviral drug to give to people right at the beginning, but we don't. And one of the things, if I was health minister or the next, likely to be the next health minister, I would be looking very closely right now if we've got enough antiviral drug available on order. I wouldn't wait one day. There's a very good drug called Paxlovid. How much of it is available? Is it in the country? Can doctors get it to prescribe it?
Okay, so just to wrap up, because we're coming up to the news, Professor Peter Doherty, that to you is the most pressing issue right now, to make sure that Australia secures and gets in the country and then prescribes the antiviral drugs that can deal with COVID-19.
Yeah, I think nobody... A lot of drug was ordered under Greg Hunt's leadership, and that was great, but nobody expected this enormous Omicron surge. And the Americans are offering this drug to everyone over 12 who test positive. We certainly can't do that. We're only offering it to a very limited way to very vulnerable people. But I think we shouldn't let this drop because of the election. The people in the political and medical side should be ensuring we've got that supply of drug available.
Okay. Professor, always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for that. I think it's been really interesting for people. Take care of yourself.
Okay. Thanks, Virginia. You too.
Professor Peter Doherty there, patron and namesake of the Peter Doherty Institute for Infection and Immunity.